Hello everyone, this is the recording of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 8th of November. Those who walk in the town on a market day, and especially in the summer, feel something special where the crowd goes, stops and watches. What is it about? Very often it is smells, scents. It smells good, it smells of cookies. It smells of grilled chicken, spices, perfume soaps. You will find it bizarre, but a smell that I like. I will not find it in the markets, and I will have a hard time calling it perfume anyway. This is what we call cutting oil. This oil that we used on machine tools when I was in high school, and that I smelled every morning and every evening when I worked at Renault in Boulogne-Billancourt, where we manufactured the 4L and later the Express. And later on, during the dozen years that I was in the Lyon region, when I drove past the Renault factories in Lyon, Evenisseau, in fact, I opened the windows to inhale the smell. All tastes are in nature, even the strangest. The amazing thing about our sense of smell is that for most of us, these smells remind us of people, places and events from our past. It seems that our sense of smell is most important in bringing back memories. I think we all agree that smells have a strong power to revive memories and images of people and places. Today I want to talk about this aroma that we as a church give off in the world around us as believers, and what our families and neighbours smell, in the figurative sense, of course. So today we are going to look at a section of scripture where the Apostle Paul teaches us how to be the aroma, the fragrance, the odour of Christ to those around us. And we will consider this word of the Apostle that we are going to put in context. We are, for God, the perfume of Christ. I will begin my reading in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, to remind you of what state of mind Paul might have been in at that time. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. Paul was therefore travelling and was heading for Ephesus in Asia to Philippi in Europe. He had planned to meet Titus in Troas. Titus, who was to inform him of the state of the church in Corinth. But Titus did not appear. Paul was very concerned about his absence and troubled by what was going on in Corinth because he had written the Christians there a difficult letter and didn't know how they had accepted it. Paul therefore left Asia through Troas and continued on his way to Philippi. Arriving at Philippi, he finds Titus and receives good news coming from Corinth. Many of the problems in the Corinthian church have been identified and then resolved, and the majority of the church is behind Paul. Things are improving. Paul praises the Lord, which we now read from verse 14 to 17. The thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. I believe in this section of scripture we find three images that Paul associates for us with the good aroma of Christ. Let's look at the first of these images. Chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Point number one. We are the fragrance of Christ when our lives have the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. The first image is that of a celebration of victory. Corinth being part of the vast Roman Empire, the Corinthians were familiar with triumphal Roman processions. Whenever a victorious general returned from battle, Rome held a public parade in his honour. One of the elements that characterised the Roman triumphal processions was frankincense, incense burned during these celebrations. "Thanks be to God," said Paul. "In this triumphal procession described by the Apostle, Jesus is the leader, the hero who leads others in his footsteps, those others who have asked him to be the Lord of their lives in this Christian parade. Jesus Christ is the victor. By his resurrection, he conquered all enemies, including the greatest enemy known to man, death. All Christians are in the procession with him and share his victory." Paul had already said in the first epistle to the Corinthians, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Then we ourselves can be part of Christ's triumph. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life, if he is truly the one leading us, if we hold on to his word, then wherever he takes us, whether it be easy or difficult, we can be sure that it is where we need to be, regardless of how difficult, stressful, sick or sad our lives. We are always and again benefiting from the triumphant work of Christ here and now, because we believe in a God who loves us supremely. I do not believe that I am denying the suffering in saying this, and I am not saying that this triumphant attitude must reveal itself immediately in the midst of the trauma. But we are the fragrance of Christ when we demonstrate such an attitude in the midst of difficulties, because we know what Christ has done for us and what he can do in the future. God has chosen us, his church, to spread his knowledge, the good news of Jesus Christ. But understand Paul, who addresses the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 2, and writes, "And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." To understand this verse well, we are the perfume of Christ when our lives smell of service. "To love is to serve," said the Apostle. We are not called to be busy or to have too many commitments, but to be the good odour of Christ by being servants. We are the fragrance of Christ when we help our neighbour in one way or another. We are the fragrance of Christ when we joyfully give to a friend in need. We are the fragrance of Christ when perhaps we carry someone. We are the fragrance of Christ when we are right there, present for someone. We are the fragrance of Christ when we volunteer our time and energy, serving here and there as needed. There might not be anything out of the ordinary, but for some it matters. Remember this, we are the fragrance of Christ when our lives have the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. That is, when our lives bear witness by word and deed of Christ's victory over evil. Let's now read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 15 and 16, to discover our second point. "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life, and who is equal to such a task?" Point number 2. We are the fragrance of Christ when our lives have the odour of sacrifice. Returning to our Roman procession, this parade was filled with splendour and glory, and incense was burned in honour of the hero. The parade is the place and time where soldiers and officers collect full honours. But the slaves and captives present on this occasion find themselves in the arena to die in combat. As the victors breathed in the incense, they breathed a scent of life and joy. But to the captives, the incense was the forerunner of their imminent death. The words fragrance or odour are common throughout the Old Testament, but they are almost always associated with a sacrifice to God. But what does this mean for us, who do not worship God through a sacrificial worship system? We don't put animals on the altar. We don't put our hands on an animal's head to transfer our sins to them. We don't worship God that way because of Jesus Christ, the God in flesh, who came to earth to live a perfect life according to the law and to sacrifice himself on a cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Instead of a dying animal in our place, he wants to see our lives as a sacrifice of a pleasant fragrance. Then Paul writes in the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Our lives are to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. What does someone look like who is a living sacrifice? What must he do to be the fragrance of Christ? The key to understanding Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is the word therefore, which connects this phrase to all of the above, and even the 11 chapters of the Epistle to the Romans that preceded it are the key to understanding what Paul hears. I just want to point out a few things Paul tells us in these chapters. Chapter 3, verse 23, tells us that all fall short of the glory of God, that all have sinned. Chapter 6, verse 23, tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 8, tells us that God showed his love for us when, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Chapter 10, verse 9, says that if you confess with your heart that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I will define our living sacrifice as the one that directs people to the cross of Christ by the way we live our lives today. We are the fragrance of Christ when, while recognizing how imperfect we are, we know that we can have a relationship with God because of our perfect Saviour. We are the fragrance of Christ as we lead people to the cross by sharing with those around us what it means to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Let us think back to the image of the cross. For most of us, when we see the cross in church on Sunday or in other places at other times, it gives us a feeling of comfort and hope. We tend to forget that the cross was primarily a tool for carrying out judgment and execution. Many see life and hope in the cross, but others see it as an instrument of judgment and death. The only image, perhaps, which gives both the odour of death to some and the fragrance of life to others is the cross. Being a living sacrifice means that when you show people Jesus, some will know they are saved, others will know they are doomed, even if they do not really realise what it involves, or if they don't take it seriously. We are a living sacrifice and the good odour of Christ when we share our journey of faith. We are the fragrance of Christ as we share the story of God's plan of salvation with those around us. We are the fragrance of Christ when we invite someone to praise the Lord. When we tell others about the cross of Christ, some will be annoyed or offended by what we say, but others will believe and their lives will be forever transformed. And there is one last image that I would like to present to you. Let us now read 2 Corinthians chapter 2 from the second part of verse 16 and verse 17 in order to discover our third point. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Point number 3. We are the fragrance of Christ when our lives smell of sincerity. Paul says in the last part of chapter 2, verse 16, "Who is equal to such a task? Who can God use as the fragrance of Christ for those around them?" Those people whose life feels sincere. The Holy Spirit resides in us, lives in us when we ask God to come into our life and make Jesus the Lord of our life. He wants to be at the centre of our life. The centre is not the periphery. We are the fragrance of Christ when we worship God with all our heart, when we worship him sincerely. Would our closest acquaintances in life describe us as sincere or as hypocrites? I am certainly taking extremes, and you will qualify as you see fit. But nothing creates a worse odour than someone who says something but isn't really sincere. To be the centre of Christ, we must be like him. We need to practice what we preach in humility and sincerity. Let us remember to conclude, and for the record, that we are the perfume of Christ when our life has the fragrance of knowledge through the word and service. the fragrance of sacrifice when we show the cross of Christ, and the fragrance of sincerity to which our life must bear witness, so that the testimony of our lives causes people to remember Jesus and what he accomplished. Let us pray. Lord, that every time we smell a pleasant odour, like baked cupcakes, flowers in spring, a dish to share, or a pleasant fragrance of some origin, remember the three images that make up the good odour of that which the Apostle Paul speaks: knowledge, sacrifice, and sincerity. I also pray that we remember that we ourselves must be that good fragrance for the world around us. Amen. Let's go and live our life in such a way that people remember the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus through us. The importance of the preposition sun in Ephesians. In Greek, two prepositions are used to mean with, meta, and some. The first has the meaning of next to. The other means that any separation is impossible. Here is a list of verses where we find words beginning with the prefix sun. Ephesians 2, 5, 6, 19, 21 and 22. Chapter 4, 3 and 16. Chapter 5, 7, 11. And chapter 3, verse 6. Ephesians 3, verse 6. Same inheritance, co-heirs. The heirs of God in the biblical sense are those who receive the blessings that God has for his people. This word is used in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9, for. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, for. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, for. The next one. Same body, co-members. This expression literally refers to a common organ. From a biblical standpoint, the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, are united in one body as members of the body of Christ, the Church. But what about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles within the Church? Did the apostles understand this? What were their difficulties? If one translated Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6 literally, it might read, "The Gentiles are co-heirs and co-members of the body and co-participants in the promise in Christ through the gospel." Why this insistence? Is what Paul shows in this way different from what existed in Old Testament times? What does Paul say in Romans chapter 1, verse 2? What does that tell us about the gospel? Next point. Same promise. Co-participants. This term literally means sharing possession of something. In this case, the promise in Christ Jesus. Number two, the universal church and the local church. The term church is used both to mean the local church and to show the universal church, sometimes by Jesus, mainly by New Testament writers. A. The universal church. When Paul says that he persecuted the church of God, Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, for example, he is not only talking about the church in Jerusalem, but also about all Christians in the Roman world and in the region of Israel in particular. But not only. See Acts chapter 26, verse 11. What definition to give to the universal church? Is it the sum of all the local churches? B. The local church. Some examples. Acts 8, 1. Chapter 13, 1, chapter 14, 21, 23, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1, Galatians 1, verse 2, Galatians 1, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. What is the definition of the local church? Is it the sum of its members registered on the official lists at a given address? 3. God's plan for the local church. Who are we? Disciples? Brothers? Saints? 4. Principles. When we evaluate the church, we can only evaluate the visible body of believers. See Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. When we evaluate the church, we must understand what it is like to be a disciple. See Acts chapter 14, verse 22. When we assess the church, we should assess how well the disciples in the church function as a family. See Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When we assess the church, we should assess the extent to which we are showing the fruit of the Spirit in our relationships with one another. See Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 through and 23.